Well, good morning, everyone. And well, it's good to be back here again at Covenant Baptist Church. I think we were here last time was in 2017. And how many of you were here back in 2017? Oh, great, great. And good to see still being faithful. Amen. And we have been in on the mission field of Nigeria since July of 1994. So if you do the math, that's 28 years. And I believe this church, I'm trying to remember, Brother Madonna, has it been about, I think around 20 years this church has been supporting us. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
And so we are so thankful for your prayers and your supports, through the faithful support through the years. And so it's good to be back here again and seeing some familiar faces and some new faces. That's good too. But Nigeria is Africa's most populated country. 215 million souls in the country of Nigeria. It's Africa's most populated country. It's also the seventh most populated country in the world. And so a lot of people there. And but also a lot of people don't realize this, is that Nigeria is the second largest English-speaking country in the world. So I have been speaking Nigerian to you this already this morning. But it's a British English with an African accent, so you probably wouldn't understand it anyway. But it is English. English is taught in the schools. Most Nigerians can read and write and speak English, even though that might be their second language. There are over 500 different dialects. The three main ones are Hausa, Yoruba, and Igbo. And Nigeria is also 50% Muslim. The northern part of the country is predominantly Muslim. That's where they're having the problems. You might have heard of the Muslim terrorists up there, the Boko Haram, causing a lot of problems, burning churches and so forth, and killing Christians. And that's real. It's a very serious problem there. We also have the Fulani herdsmen, which are Muslim, causing problems and doing the same thing there. Now, we are in the southern part of Nigeria, which is predominantly Christian. There's very few Muslims in our part, so we don't have that problem with the terrorists there. But we do have militants and pirates and kidnappers in the southern part. So Nigeria is struggling right now with a lot of issues, a bad economy, high inflation, high unemployment, government corruption. I know that sounds like America right now, but it's a lot worse there, okay? Take my word for it. And so there's also a lot of false religions there, a lot of superstition, a lot of what they call juju, which is occultism. We have to deal with a lot of that. And but in spite of all that, by the way, gasoline in Nigeria is only $2 a gallon. How many want to come to Nigeria? We'll sign you up. But Nigeria is also a major oil-producing country. A lot of it's imported to here, so they're able to keep the price down, of the gas down there. But we live in the southern city of Port Harcourt, which is in the center of the oil industry. So Port Harcourt is a city of about 3 million people, if you count all the surrounding villages. So it is a very large city. It's very populated. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And God has been faithful to us, and he's a faithful God. And he has called us to Nigeria, and he has certainly done it through our ministry there during these last 28 years there in Nigeria. The Lord has helped us to start 9 churches now. Our first church plant, which is our main church, was averaging about 650 before COVID. We're still trying to catch up after COVID or since then. But we were able to start our 8th and 9th churches just last year in the city of Yenagoa and the village of Andoni. And just before we came back to the States for our furlough, that was back in March, we were able to purchase some land to start our next church plant. So Lord willing, when we go back to Nigeria on the end of November, we'll be starting our 10th church plant. And so we need your prayers about that, that God will supply the need and God will give us the what we need there to get that church off the ground as well. We also have a Bible Institute, have about 35 graduates from that. Five of those graduates are now pastoring churches. Nine men that have been reached through our ministry are now pastoring churches altogether. And so we praise the Lord for that. So they are taking care of the churches for us right now while we're here in the States. So please pray for them. In fact, they just had a youth camp, a youth conference type of thing just last week and had very, very good results from that. And so we praise the Lord for the good reports we've been hearing since we've been here on furlough. But in spite of all the problems that Nigeria is going through right now, the people there are very open and receptive to the gospel. And we have, since the first day we got there, have started witnessing and preaching to them and found out that you know, even in spite of all the religions that's there, there's a lot of churches that are there. Most Nigerians are not grounded in the Word of God and have not been given a clear presentation of the gospel. And so many of them do not have assurance of salvation. And so we're able to go in with the Word of God and show them how they can know for sure, how they can have God's promise that when they die, they'll go to heaven. And they want to know that. They're very interested in that. And so we have been able to see a lot of people saved. When we go out soul winning and witnessing, we get a very good response. Many times we go out for an hour or two. Well, it's not unusual to see 10 people receive Christ as their Savior. Sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, and then other people will come around because they want to hear that too. They're interested too. And so I love going soul winning there in Nigeria. We'll always get a good response. And to God be the glory. We have seen over 220,000 souls saved that we know of through all of our ministries over the last 28 years. And by the way, you have a part in that. And when giving to missions, that's fruit that abounds to your account. And so we are partners together in getting out the gospel there in Nigeria. And if you ever would like to take a missions trip, we invite you to come. We'll take you out soul winning. And you'll see how the harvest there is truly great, but the laborers are few. And so, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness in supporting us through these years. And it was good to meet Pastor Stephen, and just talking to him yesterday, found out that he was pastoring a church not too far from where we were born and raised in Mansfield, Ohio. And so it was a blessing to get to talk to him. And by the way, Ohio State did beat Notre Dame yesterday, so hope you won't hold that against us, but amen. But it's good to be here this morning and to get to meet all of you. And we are going to show our video in the morning service, is that right? And I think it'll give you a better idea of our ministry, and you get to meet some of our people that we have reached and our pastors and our churches, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. And we do have a display out there in the main foyer and with some prayer cards and some updated prayer cards. And hope you'll take one of those and you'll continue to pray for us. And by the way, my wife, Rose, is here this morning. And our youngest son is with us, Justin. Just turned 17 and still single, by the way. But he is the youngest of five. All five of our children grew up in Nigeria. They were homeschooled there, and so now they're scattered. The other four are scattered throughout. We have one here in Michigan. We were just with him yesterday in Adrian, and we have one in Ohio, one in Indiana, and one in Florida. So they're kind of scattered, but it's a blessing to be here, and hope you'll pray for us there. Take one of our prayer cards and continue to pray for us and our ministry, because we need your prayers. And God has kept us healthy and safe through the years, and I believe that's because God's people have been praying for us. And so we would like for you to keep praying for us. And thank you so much. Well, if you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Revelation this morning. And I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 3. And we'll begin there in verse 7. Revelation chapter 3. I'll begin reading there in verse 7. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy and he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Verse 11 says, "Behold, I come quickly, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So here Jesus is speaking to the church at Philadelphia, Jesus, the one who is faithful and true. And he says to them, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." I want to kind of expound on that this morning and preach on this subject. The door is open. We just have to enter. Amen? Because I believe that God has also set before us an open door. How many of you agree with that? Amen? And I'd like to speak on that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll begin. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this church. We thank you, Lord, for this time we have together to fellowship, to sing your praises, to hear the preaching and teaching of your word. And Father, I pray that you would meet with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today. May we be edified and strengthened from your word today and challenged, Lord, to make some decisions in our life that would help us to be better Christians, to draw us closer to you. And so, Father, I pray now you'll have your will in this service, and may you be honored and glorified in everything. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So here in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to the Apostle John, who because of the Roman persecution was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And there, if you read in chapter 1, John describes what he saw when he heard the voice. And he turned and he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. And John said that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And then the Lord Jesus laid his hand upon John and he said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. And then John begins to write down the things that he sees and hears, and that's how we got the book of Revelation, right? And so in chapters 2 and 3, Jesus tells John to write a message for each of the seven churches of Asia, the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and the church at Laodicea. So in each one of those messages, Jesus says, "I know thy works. I know your works. I know what you're doing." Amen. And I believe that Jesus comes to every church, and if he were to speak to us today, he would say the same thing. "I know your works. I know what you're doing." And but each one of these churches are unique, and I believe each one has each one has different strengths. Each one has different faults. And I believe that each one of these messages that Jesus gives to the seven churches of Asia has an application for us today. And because every church at some point has these issues that they're going through. And he tells us what to do about it. For example, we have the church at Ephesus there in chapter 2. And he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and hast found them liars. And so this church at Ephesus sounds like a good church here. And, you know, they're fighting off the false teachers and so forth. But then in verse 4 he continues and says, and hast borne and hast patience and for my name's sake hath labored and hast not fainted. Sounds like a really good church. But then in verse 4 he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left what? Thy first love. And a lot of churches go through that time. You know, they're all excited and they're all on fire for God. But after some time, they kind of cool off a little bit, right? Why? Because we left our first love. And Jesus says, I want you to get that love back and repent and get back to that first love, or I will come and remove that candlestick out of its place. And another example is the church at Sardis, there in chapter 2. I think it's chapter 2, or no, sorry, chapter 3, verse 1. And he said again, once again, he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest. But he says, but are what? You're dead, okay? You have a name, you have a reputation. But on the outside, you look good. But on the inside, Jesus said, I can see there are a lot of things that are dying in this church. There are a lot of things that are dying in your Christian life. And a lot of churches go through that, don't they? They have a name that they live, but they've really let some things die that ought not to die. Amen? Like soul winning, like their walk with God and so forth. And so these messages have an application for us today. And of course, we have the church at Laodicea. And Jesus said to them there, also in chapter 3, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art what? Lukewarm. I will spew thee out of my mouth. So here we have the lukewarm church. And I believe probably that applies to most of all to churches today. You know, we're just kind of, we're not hot, we're not cold, we're just kind of right in the middle. Amen? We don't want to be too on fire for God, but we don't want to be, you know, backslidden. We don't want to be too, let's just keep kind of be, you know, stay in the middle ground. But Jesus calls that lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. And he goes on to tell them what they need to do. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then in verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And I believe that has to do with the trial of our faith. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. That has to do with, righteousness. Amen. The shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and that thou anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And so he tells us what we need to do to solve these problems. But then when you come to the church at Philadelphia, this is interesting. He says, I know thy works, and he tells them what they're doing, but he doesn't say anything negative about the church at Philadelphia. Did you notice that? He's the same thing with the church of Smyrna, the persecuted church. And so the first thing he says about them is in verse 8 of chapter 3. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a what? An open door. And no man can shut it. And so that's what I want to expound upon this morning. We have an open door, and no man can shut it. God has set before us some open doors. And I believe God has set an open door for Covenant Baptist Church, and it's set before us. And you say, well, what? And by the way, I believe every Christian, God comes to each one of us and he sets before us some open doors in our life, and that no man can shut. Now, it's up to us to walk through that door. Amen. The door is open. We just have to enter into it. Amen. God's not going to force us to go in. But we have open doors that God has set before us. And this church has some open doors, and no man can shut it. And you say, well, what are these doors? Well, they are doors of opportunity. Amen. They are doors of service. And Jesus told them, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. So if you're here this morning, you've been born again. God has also set before you, before us, open doors that no man can what? Can shut. And no man can shut it, but it's up to us to go through those doors. Now, usually when you go through that door, God opens up some other doors. Amen. How many of you know that? That's true. And but by the way, when God shuts a door, sometimes he does that too. But when he shuts a door, he always opens up another door. Amen. And now, usually when God opens a door, that tells us something. That means he has a plan. He has a purpose for our life. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, for a great door, an effectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So we have to realize that these open doors also come with, you know, some adversaries. Okay, it's not always going to be easy, but the good news is God will help us to get through those. Amen. And God has set before us some open doors, and I believe God has set before this church some open doors. But God has also set before each one of us some open doors. Now, what are those doors? Okay. Well, I believe there are several things these doors represent. Number one, God sets before all of us an open door of salvation. How many of you know that's true? Okay. If you look in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the what? The door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And God sets before every one of us an open door of salvation. God is not willing that any should perish. Amen. But that all should come to repentance. So God sets before every one of us an open door of salvation. And by the way, Jesus is that door. Amen. There is no other door. There is no other way to get to heaven. I've heard some people say, we all serve the same God. We all worship the same God. And, you know, there are many ways to get to heaven. There are many doors to heaven. No, Jesus said, I am the door. There is no other way. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's a message that we need to emphasize and preach more and more in these days that we live in. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way. And there's only one door to salvation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's an open door, amen, that's set before us. Jesus said in John 3:15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for him. Amen. So Jesus is the door of salvation. Now let me ask you this morning, when did you go through that door? Can you remember a time and a place where you saw that open door of salvation and you walked through that door, amen, through Christ? You looked to him, you put your faith and trust in him, and on that day you realized you were a sinner and you received him into your life. You trusted in him as your only way to be saved. And on that day, he gave you everlasting life. And you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're going to heaven. If you can't remember, you know, when you walk through that door, maybe you haven't walked through it yet. And so I urge you today to make sure that you have entered that door. And so God has, and by the way, there's a lot of people out there waiting for someone to show them there is a way. Amen. There is a door. There is a way to heaven. And we need to go show them. And so there's an open door of salvation. Then when you walk through that door, how many of you walk through that door today? How many of you know you've walked through that door? Amen. So when you walk through that door, guess what? Some other doors open. Amen. There's the door of baptism. And Jesus, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So immediately after that, there's the door of baptism when we identify with Christ through baptism. And we confess him, make a public confession of him. And that's the very first step in our Christian life. And right after we're saved, there's another door that opens. And when you go through that door, you get baptized, then there's another door that opens. Amen? And there is an open door of service. You see, God didn't just save us so we can go to heaven. Now, that's one of the main reasons. Amen? God doesn't want us to go to hell. But I believe that God has also saved us to serve him. How many of you know that? Okay? We're saved to serve. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, for whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Now, he's not talking to unbelievers there. He's not talking to the lost there. He's talking to who? The brethren, all right? The believers. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? So God has now set before us an open door of service. Amen? And God expects every one of us. It's just reasonable that we give our life to him, we present our body a living sacrifice, and we serve him. We have an open door of service. And let me tell you something. There is a place for you to serve in this church. Amen? Amen, Brother Stephen? There's a place where you can serve God in this church. There are some open doors here of service. And if you don't believe that, just come to the pastor there. He'll tell you, amen, where you can serve. And so there is a door of service. And back in Nigeria, we have our church there. We have a deaf ministry. We have a bus ministry there. We have a village sewing. We go into the villages and we give the gospel to those people out in the villages. And some of them don't speak English very well, but we go out there, we lead souls to Christ. There's no church that's really preaching the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel. There are plenty of open doors there in Nigeria. But listen, there's also a lot of doors of opportunity right here in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Amen? And so God has opened, set before us an open door. Now, it's up to you whether you're going to go in or not. And we have many opportunities. We have many doors of opportunity to serve him. So there's the door of salvation, and that's an open door for everyone. And when you walk through that door, God opens up some other doors, an opportunity for you to follow the Lord in obedience and get baptized. And God opens up some other doors of service. By the way, God opens up another door of fellowship with him. Amen. God didn't just save us, as I mentioned before, so we can go to heaven, but God saved us so we can fellowship with him. Amen. And that's very important too. We have an open door of fellowship with God. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen? So we also have an open door of fellowship with God. And God wants that fellowship. And he wants us to walk with him. And he wants us to get into his word. And he wants us to be men and women of prayer. And there's all kinds of doors of opportunities there, and doors of fellowship, doors of service. And then the last door I want to talk about tonight is an open door of getting out the gospel. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, verse 38, he says, the harvest, I mentioned this before, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, It's always been that way. It's amazing. There's always been a great need. There's always been a harvest. And there's always been a problem with laborers. Amen? And he goes on to say, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. How many of us pray that God would send forth more laborers? And, you know, I think if more people prayed about that, then those people would be the answer to their prayer. Amen? And because we need more laborers. We need more laborers in Nigeria. But listen, we need more laborers right here in this church. Amen? Because they're all around us. And somebody needs to go and reach them. And that harvest is not a harvest of wheat or corn, but a harvest of lost souls that is ripe and ready. And somebody needs to go and tell them. And God has set before us, as Christians, as a church, these open doors. And it's up to us to enter in through these doors. And I hope today that that'll be a help and a blessing to you. And realize these messages, not just to the churches of the Church of Philadelphia, but to this church, to each one of us. And God comes to us and says to us, Jesus says, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for these truths from your word today. Help us, Lord, to realize we have some great opportunities here in this church. Here in these last days, Lord, many are saying that it can't be done anymore. It's this excuse or that excuse. But Father, you've always have set before us an open door. Until you come again, take us home. There are doors that are open. Help us, Lord, to have the faith to walk through those doors. Help us to realize that we have doors of salvation, there's doors of service, there's doors of getting out the gospel. Help us to walk through those doors for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.